Good morning, Coeur d'Alene and Post Falls and Hayden and Rathdrum and all North Idaho. Awake, friends, stir yourselves. Come to the place, to this last place with the risen Christ Jesus. Alleluia, friends, Christ is risen, and now Jesus Christ is taken on high. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, is drawn in all his humanness into the very heart of God. And so Jesus ascends. As Ralph Vaughan Williams put to music, let all the world in every corner sing, my God and King. And so, and here we are, standing, looking heavenward. What do we make of it all? It's Memorial Day weekend here in the United States, here in 2020. And this year, we're greeted with 100,000 dead so far from the coronavirus that continues to claim lives across our land and across the world. Where is God? Where is Jesus, the Lord of life? Friends, when I was younger, the greatest challenge I faced was working with adults my age and older who had debilitating forms of mental illness that had kept them cycling in and out of hospitals. I worked on a therapeutic farm dedicated to slowing down that cycle and helping them find a kind of normalcy in life. And so I worked on that therapeutic farm with those residents and lived on the farm with them and shared meals with them and heard their minds and cry and hearts cry out with confusion and yearning and distortion day after day. The church where I worshiped then had this beautiful stained glass window depicting the Ascension. And when we got to Ascension Day and the subsequent Sunday, and then for weeks and months after that, I found myself wrestling with the question, where has Jesus gone? And another question, where is God for these people who are so torn apart in their own minds and hearts? I had had a vision before that, at one point, of the Holy Spirit as God's presence that flowed between people and within them, making them whole and bringing them to their full selves that they were created to be. But then I worked with people who experienced long-term, enduring psychoses, a fracturing of wholeness, like a mirror broken in shards and twisted so that what they saw was a world and a self that didn't make sense. Where was the life-giving Holy Spirit in this? We face questions like this all throughout our lives, and sometimes more poignantly than others, as we come face to face with suffering, with pain, with injustice, and just with plain unknowing. We face questions like this now, and the questions grow, and the sorrow and confusion and pain behind them will increase. The world is not what we thought it was. It has changed for us so quickly, so suddenly. We come to the end of Easter season in 2020 with confusion, uncertainty. Yes, alleluia, Jesus is risen, and we sing alleluia. And now we come to that time when Jesus leaves. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, ascends out of sight. Like the first followers and friends of Jesus, we're left standing, staring up, wondering where he's gone and what we're supposed to do now. And maybe wondering why he didn't stay to make all things right and restore the world and lead us in that cause. Friends, what we forget is that Jesus rose and for a while kept appearing to his beloved followers. But meanwhile, all around them, life continued as before. Injustices continued as Rome continued to crucify people it deemed as criminals, as wealthy landowners mistreated the poor who were in their charge. Poverty, illness, and the daily challenge of seeking and finding daily bread, all of this was still there, all around them. Yet Jesus was risen from death and was with them again. So, naturally, the disciples' hopes began to spark again for Jesus to step into the role they hoped for him, to be the Messiah they imagined, to be the one who would fix everything as they wanted to see it fixed. Before he goes, the disciples ask in hope, "Is this the time when you will restore everything? Will our hopes for God's promises be fulfilled? Will it finally all make sense the way we hoped and dreamed it would always make sense?" Jesus' final words to them turn it all around. He says, "It's not for you to know when things will happen, but you will receive power from the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses here and there and everywhere." Jesus is saying, knowing the future and having some clear course or plan is not the power you seek, and it's not going to bring the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying, there is power coming, and it will carry you forward in ways you never expected, to places you never expected. Don't look for control. Look for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Then he's lifted up, and the disciples are left standing, amazed, grateful, awed, and wondering what to do next. So they get a little prompt. Two messengers, like the two messengers at the empty tomb, come with a promise that this same Jesus will come again. So then they return to the city, to their room, to their shelter, and there they prayed constantly. They waited in readiness, eagerness, and enduring hope in the promise of the Holy Spirit. They continued to open themselves to God so that God would move them and stir them and light them on fire for the sake of the whole world. Friends, how shall we be in this odd time that we face in the world today? How shall we face the uncertainty of the future ahead of us as people, as a city, a region, a state, a nation, a world? How shall we face the uncertainty of the future ahead of us as a church and each of us as individuals? We do not need to face these days with dread. We do not need to face these days with dread, smothered in the anxiety of all that comes at us. We also do not need to face these days with our heads in the sand, pretending to ignore everything around us. And we do not need to face these days in a willful ignorance of the truth of the matters that we face. We can be realists who face these days with eyes wide open, but also with eyes on Jesus and with arms open wide as we seek the coming of the Holy Spirit, even now. We can face these days in prayer, in deep communion with the God of life, the God of love. We can face these days with hearts stirred by Christ, to love each other as he has loved us and loves us still. Read the gospel passage from John again, John 17. Even though these words are from when Jesus was with his disciples before he went out to the Garden of Gethsemane and then was captured, tried, beaten, and crucified. Now, here in the ending days of Easter, at this time of the Ascension, we can read these words as Jesus' prayer to God for his followers and friends, even as he is being lifted up and ascending to God's presence. And he says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you. Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had in your presence before the world existed. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. So the heroic story, like the Greek, ancient Greek heroic narratives, comes to an end with the hero ascending on high. But it doesn't end there. The story continues. Jesus opens the gates now to eternal life for us so that we can know it and live it now. Eternal life is knowing God. So when we open ourselves to God and seek to know God, when we embrace that truth that we are already thoroughly known by God, then, friends, then we taste eternity. Because then we are aware more fully that we are in God's presence and in God's eternal embrace. Eternal life is now. Can you taste it? Imagine living this way. If you knew truly that you were in God and with God fully, just as Jesus in all of his humanity, scars and all, has been taken up into the very heart of God, then how can fear hold you? And if the love of God has taken your heart, then how can you be more concerned about yourself than your neighbor? As a dear friend of mine, Bishop Michael Hun, in the Rio Grande region, said just this last week, "The closer I walk with Jesus, the less concerned I am about asserting my rights, and the more concerned I am with loving my neighbor." Pray, friends. Immerse yourselves in prayer and meditation on God's goodness, love, and power. Pray for healing for this world. Pray that we may all be open to the coming of the Holy Spirit. Pray in thanks and praise for Jesus, who is the Lord of life and Lord of love. Pray that we may receive power to live and to give. And pray that we may be witnesses to the life-changing love of God.